Matthew chapter 5, let's just read from the verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Having just finished a study on the fruit of the Spirit, it hasn't been that long since we looked at meekness. And you'll remember that was one of the fruits listed there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. And I want to remind you just very briefly of what we said that morning. When we looked at meekness, we looked at the most meek man in the Old Testament, and that was Moses. He is said to be the most meek man in the whole of the world. And then we came to the New Testament, and the bar was raised as we look at Christ, who was meek and lowly. And we said there that morning, emphasizing this great truth, that meekness is not weakness. When we think about meekness, we're not thinking about someone who's lazy, someone who's just careless. They just don't care about anything in life. We're not thinking about the coward who's scared to stand up for anything. A meekness is not weakness, not at all. The meek man, the meek woman, the meek young person is someone who is strong with broad shoulders. That's the best way to put it. They're able to carry great burdens. They're able to take a lot of nonsense and press on with the work of God to see things done. That's the idea of meekness. So it's not someone who is aggressive. It's someone who is not self-promoting. It's someone who is not self-defending. It's someone who is not self-proud, not at all. But they have the ability to press on in spite of all adversity to see the work of God go on. And so this morning we come to consider meekness again. And I have to acknowledge providence here. Because to have studied a subject like meekness only a few weeks ago, well then why would the Lord in providence bring us to think on it again? Well, maybe it's because we didn't get it the last time. We didn't get it. We missed it. And so the Lord would bring us again to study the subject of meekness. And I want to build upon what we already have this morning and press on to understand what this actually is. Now we see in a slightly different context this morning. The last time was the fruit of the Spirit. So when the Spirit comes in, He gives all of those. And that is 100% true. But look at our text now. Because there's a particular order here. This is the order of salvation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It's someone who comes to understanding in life that I have nothing to offer unto God that God might accept me or be pleased with me. It's the individual who comes out of dire acceptance of their need. Simply nothing have I to bring. Simply to the Lord's cross I cling. I deserve only hell and judgment. You see, it's the individual who recognizes their poor before God. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. So that person who understands they have nothing to offer God goes on to understand that they have positively offended God. They have sinned against the Lord. That's why they're mourning, mourning over sin, mourning over their debt, mourning over the fact that they are worthy of hell. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. They're going to enter into the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they're going to find comfort. For when you're mourning over sin, it means you're turning away from it. You hate it. You hate how it offends God. And you want to live for the Lord. And the Lord accepts such. And the Lord forgives such. So they shall be comforted. Now if you recognize your poverty before God, and if you recognize the debt that you owe to God for your sin, do you know what the consequence of that will be? You will be meek. You will be meek. The more you understand your poverty, the more you understand the debt that you own and you mourn, the more meek you will become. There is no doubt about that. You see, the previous two Beatitudes here, being poor in spirit and mourning over your sin, those are very much a view of ourself. I'm the one who sees my poverty. I am the one who's mourning over my sin. But meekness now is how we act and react to other people. And so there's a bit of a change happening here. Up until now, we've been looking at ourselves. But now when we deal with meekness, we're looking at other people. You see, most of us, I think it's true to say, we don't have a problem criticizing ourselves. We don't have a problem going in maybe to the study and praying and reading and meditating upon our sins, which is being mournful, mourning over your sins at the end of the day, analyzing how you did and how you feel and how you grieved God, and we mourn over it. Most of us don't really have a problem with that, but it's an altogether different thing when somebody else points out our sin. And that's different. And that's where this third beatitude changes. It introduces another party, other people who may be very quick to point out our faults and to criticize us. But the meek man, the meek woman, the meek child in such a situation will give thanks to God. Because they will understand something, that God is sovereign. And the Lord works through many instruments to shape me, to make me, and to mold me. And that's what the meek man is. Remember the example we made of Moses. Not to go over the whole thing again, but remember Moses when he was leading the people of Israel. His own brother and sister came and they accused him for things. And they were becoming jealous and they wanted his position and they were verbally hassling Moses. And what did Moses do? Absolutely nothing. Didn't even open his mouth. Because he was big enough. His shoulders were broad enough. He's above pride. He's above arrogance. And he knows that God is working all things out for good. And so Moses didn't retaliate. And the Lord dealt with it. Again, we made that list last time when we're looking at meekness through the Psalms. It's 7 or 8 Psalms that teach how God will provide for the meek. He will defend the meek. He will guide the meek. He will honor the meek. How God will exalt the meek and so on and so forth. God says the meek man, the person who's not there always defending himself, I will take care of them. And that's true of Moses. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, tremendous biblical scholar, made a list of men in the Bible that he saw as being very meek. And he mentioned Abraham. Abraham was the greatest of gentlemen in his right. Remember how Abraham, man of God, handled that situation between him and his nephew Lot. There was strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdmen. And so he said to Lot, listen, you go out, you pick wherever you want to go, I'll go the opposite direction. Now Abraham was the superior. Abraham was the stronger man. Abraham was the one who had a right to pick the ground. But he says, Lot, I'll let you do it. Perfect gentleman. Well, I shouldn't say perfect. Nobody's perfect. But he was an excellent gentleman. But he was not a weak man. This is Abraham who went out with a few of his soldiers and brought down a full army who had fought against the place where Lot lived. And he rescued Lot, he rescued some of the people, and he brought them back to the land they were from. Abraham was not a weak man, he was a powerful man, a man who knew how to pray, a man who submitted himself to God's will. He was meek towards God. You see, he wasn't when God asked Abraham to do something that Abraham wasn't very fond of. He didn't go and argue with God. No, he went and did it. For example, sacrificing his own son. And God was only testing him. God said to Abraham, take your son, take him up on the mount, and giving to me as an offering. And Abraham didn't ask any questions, rose early in the morning, took the wood, no doubt with an incredibly heavy heart, and lift up a knife to slay his own son. And God says, no, I'm just testing you, Abraham. And you've proven to be meek, submitting yourself to what I say. That's meekness, not weakness. What about David? Remember King David? How King David knew he was going to be king, and yet he suffered Saul. Remember how David respectfully gave honor to whom honor was due, even though Saul didn't deserve it. But David was a meek man. He wasn't proud. He wasn't keen to get a name for himself. He wasn't keen to get one up. Not at all. David was meek and gave to Saul honor, even if Saul didn't deserve it. Because David understood something. God is sovereign. And the king is on the throne for a reason. Therefore I submit to God, and therefore submit to the king. You can look at his actions and behavior towards Saul, and he was absolutely exemplary. Saul was very unkind, unjust to David. Yet David took it all and pressed on. And what happened with Abraham? What happened with David? God blessed them. They were meek. God honored them. God provided for them. God defended them. God exalted them. Because God has said, I will take care of the meek. You can think in Stephen in the New Testament. You can think in Paul. And the list goes on. But you must pause to consider the Lord himself. Remember what the Bible says about Christ. Listen to the words of Christ himself. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. I am meek and lowly. Meek and lowly. And what the Lord is saying here, look at all the meek men in human history. Think about Moses. Think about Abraham. Think about David. Think about those men who were outstanding for their meekness. I am perfectly meek. Here's the perfect David. The perfect Abraham, the perfect Moses, and this is the kind of God I want to worship. He was perfectly meek, perfectly strong. And you can see Christ's meekness. You can look at his attitude. Remember what it says there in Philippians 2. We'll turn to it later, no need now, but Philippians 2, where it states there that, to paraphrase it, that the Lord didn't see it as robbery. He didn't see it as robbery to become a man. In fact, he came to be a man because he was humble and low, and he came to die for sinners. He came to suffer wrong out of love for men. That was his meekness. He wasn't worried about personal pride, obviously. Became a man, set aside privileges to suffer. What about his submission to God? Well, the Lord says, not my will, but thine be done. Remember when Christ was in the garden and the cup, as he describes it there, the cup of God's fury was in his hand and he would drink it dry. And the Lord prays about this situation. And yet he says, not my will, but thine be done. I've been just. I've been perfect. And yet I will submit to the will of God. What about Christ's retaliation? Do you ever notice, when you read through the Bible, how Christ never retaliates? When someone says something deceitful, untrue, unkind, what was Christ's answer? Usually nothing. Didn't bother him, you see. He was above petty statements. He was above all that. Christ never retaliated. And that's why I wanted you to read 1 Peter with me. Let's go there. This is the meek man. He is not worried about his pride. He feels no need to defend himself and to get one up. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, particularly the verse 23. Let's go to verse 22 as well. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When someone gave him abuse, he didn't return abuse to him. He doesn't retaliate. He's different. He's God. A meek man, indeed. Now, we studied meekness. Did we get that? And there is no doubt every one of us in this room has room to improve here. If you're thinking today, well, I'm pretty meek, you get on your knee and you pray for God to forgive you for your fool. Oh, we need God to give us meekness, for we struggle with pride. That's the reality. Meekness is not weakness. Do not confuse this noble virtue of meekness with laziness or indolence or carelessness. No. You see, the meek man, I want to get into our subject here really now. Two things. Firstly, it's a view of yourself. The meek man has a meek view of himself. And because of that, then, secondly, it follows that he is meek towards other people. So let's unpackage that a little bit. The meek man, first of all, will have a meek view of himself. What that means is he'll have a low view of himself. The man who's genuinely meek will see himself as poor before God. That I have nothing that recommends me to the Lord. Nothing to commend myself to God. The meek man will not feel like he deserves anything good from God. He will never sit there and say, well, you know, the Lord really should be giving me this and this because I'm this and this. No, the meek man will never be like that because he'll recognize he's absolutely poor before God, deserves no good. In fact, the meek man will be mourning over the fact that he's broken God's law, time without number, that he's offended the Lord. The meek man will also mourn over his sin towards others, how he doesn't love his fellow men the way he ought to. What's that first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the meek man will mourn over his sin towards his fellow man. And if you are poor in spirit, if you are mourning, you will be humble. And humble and meekness are all the same. A humble and a meek man, not proud. The meek man isn't proud. Do you know why? Because he knows he's got nothing to be proud of. It's not the obnoxious thing, men and women, about someone who's proud. If you're going to think of someone in your mind and you know they just drip of pride, why is it so obnoxious? Because you know fine rightly they have nothing to be proud of. They have 1,000 sins. They should be ashamed of themselves. Yet they're proud of themselves. And that's the ugly thing about pride. And that's one of the beautiful things about the meekness. The meek man knows I have nothing to be proud of. And when you're there, when you're at that position of being meek, you have emptied yourself of self-pride. You've emptied yourself of self-reliance. That's a great place to be. For sure. The meek man is not like the wee Northern Ireland man. The wee Northern Ireland man who's 5 foot nothing, who will strut his stuff around the streets of the towns and city we have, and they'll go around claiming that, well, I know my rights, and I'll make sure I'll get what I deserve. The wee Northern Ireland man who's full of himself. Well, he's a nothing and a nobody. That's not a meek man. That's a nutcase. And we're like that. Proud. When we've nothing to be proud of at all. The meek man doesn't demand position, privileges, possessions. No. Philippians 2. And we paraphrased that a minute ago. The meek man is like this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Christ was willing to give up position, privileges, for your good. Should we not be the same for God's glory then? The meek man, it's like this. The meek man just has a different view in life. He looks at the world differently, men and women. It's a whole different view. It's not about trying to be as big as you can be. It's not about trying to be as advanced as you can be. No, he's content. He's humble. Not boastful, not proud, not arrogant. All of which things are hideous. He knows that the Lord will take care of him. That's a little bit of the meek man, all right? And if you have a meek view, if you're meek, you have a small view of yourself. And so if someone comes and says something to you, it doesn't really bother you, because you know you're a sinner. You see, the man who has low views of himself will begin to be meek towards others. And that's where we're moving on to now, secondly. He'll be meek towards God. The meek man will be meek towards God. How are you meek towards God? Well, we've mentioned the last time we preached in this. I've already indicated it this morning. But the meek man will be humble, appreciative, and thankful towards God. Not arrogant and demanding more from God. Not the person who will complain and whinge when God puts them into a situation they don't want to be in. Like Abraham. Abraham didn't complain, didn't demand from God. No, he did God's will. He was meek. He submitted to the will of God. And when sickness comes, in that practical way, whatever the case may be, a fallout, some situation, the meek man, the meek woman, the meek young person will say, God's will be done. I deserve hell. And anything above hell is a blessing. Anything above eternal torment is a privilege. That's how the meek man lives. Different way of thinking in life, that, isn't it? And so if you're struck down with cancer, cancer is a lot better than hell. So you're blessed to be lying on a bed, wrecked with pain, with absolutely no help. That is better than hell, which you deserve. That's a new way to look at life. No one wants to go through cancer, obviously. No one wants to go through hell. But hell is what we deserve. The meek man will accept from God what God gives, cementing the sovereignty of God. But here's the thing. God is good. The Lord does bless. The Lord gives us more good things, men and women, than we could ever possibly deserve. And just to try and come to a conclusion here soon, the meek man has a low view of himself, all right? And so if you have a meek view of yourself, you'll be meek towards God and you'll be meek towards your fellow man. You will live meekly. You'll be humble before others, not proud, not defending yourself at all times, not trying to get the one up. The proud man wants to get the one up. But the meek man isn't worried about getting the one up. It's just entirely irrelevant. Now again, I'm not talking about someone here who is just careless, someone who's lazy. I don't care what people think about me. That's not meekness. That's probably carelessness and foolishness. But the meek man is thinking that I am only worried about what God thinks of me. And if there are people who don't think well of me, well, that's the way it is. I will keep myself right before God, and I will serve God no matter what. And I will live meekly towards men, even if people don't like me, even if people, for whatever reason, have a spite against me. Here's what Spurgeon said. This is really good. If any man thinks ill of you, if any man doesn't think well of you, don't be angry with them. For you are far worse than they have ever imagined. That's right. If someone thinks poorly of you, don't worry about it, because you're far worse than they think. Again, that's a new way of thinking, isn't it? You see, to put it this way, meekness gives you thick skin. You know what I mean by that. You see, you're not concerned about personal pride. You're not concerned about your ego. The person who is pride and boastful will be ready to fight and retaliate with anyone who attacks their ego or who attacks them. The meek man, he's above that, to be honest. Meekness will also deal and cure self-pity. You're no longer concerned about what others say. You're no longer all that bothered about yourself. You know you deserve hell. And so anything above hell is a blessing. And no longer then will you sit wallowing, feeling sorry for yourself. No, the meek man is thick-skinned. The meek man is not full of self-pity. The meek man will have a teachable spirit. He's ready to learn from other people. He's not too proud to say, well, I'm not going to learn from you because you're a nothing and nobody. Not at all. The meek man will take advice from anybody. If it's right, if it's good, he'll take it on board because he's not too proud to be taught by someone else. And those are all quite unappealing to our flesh. We're not thick-skinned. We're more inclined to be sensitive. We're not strong, rather we maybe are more inclined to be self-pitiful. We don't like to be maybe teachable. We like to be the teachers. But meekness will shape how you conduct yourself with other people and how you react to other people. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you conduct yourself. That's meekness. It's a beautiful virtue. But just in conclusion, meekness isn't something you can produce yourself. You can't do it. You can't leave today and think, right, I'm going to be more meek from now on. You can't do that. I'll tell you why. It's God who gives meekness. Now, you can pretend to be meek. You can from this day forth go out and pretend, right, I'm going to be meek with everybody I come across. But I can 100% guarantee you that your pride will at some point expose you. You can't be meek. It's a virtue that God gives. In salvation, he brings meekness into the believer. When you are poor in spirit, God does that, convicts you of sin, and then you become mournful over your sin, and then you become meek. Christ brings that in when he saves you, but this is the process of sanctification. The Lord continues to make you more meek. And I want to ask you that today. Personally, are you more meek today than you were 10 years ago? Because if you're not, you're not grown with God. You might be busy working for God. You might be doing lots for the Lord. But if you're not growing in these virtues, you are not going on with God. Because the Lord will make you more meek, more joyful, more loving, and so on and so forth. But maybe today, you're just not saved. Well, come and plead with the Lord that he would bring all of these Christian virtues and plant them into your soul, that he would make you poor in spirit, that he would make you mournful, that he would make you meek. For it is blessing. It is a blessing to be there. That the Lord would give to you the fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That God would bring all of these into your heart and he'd make you a new person. You can't do it yourself. But the Lord can do it for you. And not only do you enjoy the benefits of salvation now, you can look forward to enjoying heaven, which comes hereafter. It's our second time looking at meekness in 2 months. I do therefore believe the Lord would have us to solemnly take this on board. Lord, make us more meek. As a family of believers, we may do better. And as a witness for Christ in our town, that we may be far greater witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please take your hymn books this morning. Let's turn to our closing hymn. 419. 419. These virtues that we've been looking at, both in Matthew 5 and in Galatians, they are difficult to swallow. They can be sore and painful to hear, men and women, but it's good when the surgeon goes in to cut and to remove disease. And that's what the Lord's doing with these texts. I'm only the messenger. You can hate me if you wish, But at the end of the day, be obedient to God's word and seek to live in a way which pleases the one who died for you. 419, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Verse 3, may the peace of God my Father rule my life in every way. Verse 4, may the love of Jesus fill me. I was going to sing verse 2. Verse 2 is applicable, for it says in verse 2, may the word of God dwell richly in us. And may this word about meekness dwell in us indeed for his glory. We'll stand to sing the first four verses here of this lovely hymn.